Father, we thank you that it is your spirit that changes atmospheres. It is your spirit that brings miracles, God, into every day, Father, into every moment of our lives. And God, I thank you that you have called us to be the bearers of your presence, Lord. God, not just in this place, but God, into the places we walk this week, God, into our workplaces, God, into our school, into the doctor's office. God, no matter what we're facing this week, you've called us to be your presence bearers and carry that Holy Spirit that's changing atmospheres, that's changing the atmosphere in our home, that's changing the atmosphere in our workplace, changing the atmosphere when there's a diagnosis, changing the atmosphere, bringing miracle working power of God into our everyday lives. And so this morning, God, we just want to commit to be your presence bearers, God, to carry that spirit into our week, Lord, this morning. Carry it into our week, into our Monday, into our Tuesday, God. Father, into every arena and every environment that we walk in this week, we thank you that we are your presence bearers, that it is the atmosphere of God that we carry wherever we go, Lord. So God, we just commit this week to keep you at the center, to keep Jesus as our focus, to be conscious of you moving so powerfully in every single area of our life this week. In Jesus' name. Amen. And God, as we sit now, Father, at the preaching of your word, God, I just pray that you would rest heavily on the preacher. You would rest heavily on your word, Lord. God, that you would deliver a word in season, God, that would bring change and life and deliverance in your mighty name. Amen. You may take your seats and welcome Pastor Andrew.
Wow. Why don't we give our creative team a hand? Isn't that beautiful? That was amazing. And just a great sense of worship in this place. Sometimes it's not a bad thing to strip it all back. Heard a lot of you sing. You've got some good voices out there. I said, some of you do. In their own eyes. In their own shower, everyone sounds good, right? Amen? Fantastic. So good to have you here. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke on the topic of sin. And I was like, wow. Well, today I'm going to talk on pleasure. Change gears. I want to talk about how we consistently walk in the things that we know please God. Amen? God didn't create our life to be one struggle after another. He didn't. And some of our Joe this morning put it very beautifully upon the, he took all the pain, he took all the iniquity so that we could walk in the freedom. Doesn't mean that we don't have tough times and hard times, but he gives us the power to walk through it. Amen? True? Just a big shout out to both our two great people in this place. David was a great word on giving, and Joe as well. Got some talent, haven't we? Ultimately, when our heart, our soul, our mind, our spirit, our will are captivated by the majesty and the splendor and the mercy and the love of God, when our hearts are captivated that way, then we're going to walk, we're going to find this life that we call Christianity, we're going to find it, the walk different, amen? And I think what we're trying to do, I guess, on a Sunday night with our lifestyle of freedom is to remove some of those reasons why we see God the wrong way. Last week, on Sunday night, we dealt with sex. Everyone said? Amen. You've got to be honest out there in the world. Sex is actually outside of God's way and perfect plan for it is messed up so many lives. True? And so these are some of the things that we want to tackle. We're tackling pleasure. See, I believe that every one of us in this room to walk with the heart and the soul and understanding the majesty, the splendor, and the beauty and the magnificence of God is we've got to be convinced that God is good and God is for us. That He actually wants us to have pleasure in our lives. And I know for a lot of us in this room, you know, we could be in a season of sacrifice. We could be in a season of trial. But that doesn't mean that God hasn't designed His life and His way for pleasure. Amen? Pleasure isn't an evil word. It's actually a God-designed word. And God actually designed us to seek pleasure. Do you know that? It's actually the way that we were designed. Now, straight away, some of you are thinking, okay, and Timothy, it talks about in the last days, there'll be the people will be seekers of pleasure. Well, to everything that God designs, the enemy creates a counterfeit. But if you think that somehow the enemy has all the rights on pleasure and God doesn't, then you're gonna mess up the way you walk with God. Because the reality is God designed pleasure and God Himself takes pleasure in us. And so let's look at how God sees pleasure. I think it's interesting. Psalms 149 verse 4, it says, "For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the humble with salvation." You've got to understand that we were created for God's pleasure. You might think, well, that sounds a... It's almost sounding selfish. But God actually created me and you for His pleasure. He didn't need to. I don't know, maybe the Trinity decided they wanted to extend what they had, and they said the best way to do that was to create us in their likeness and image. So He didn't create us just to be an annoyance to Him. He didn't create us to be a hassle. He doesn't sit there all day looking at us thinking, oh, why did I do this? He actually created us for pleasure, for His own pleasure. That was the reason for it. Are you with me? What other reason would be for the perfect creator of the universe to create us? Why would He do it? Except that it was an extension of who He is. And He created it to be something that would bring pleasure to Him. We are God's pleasure. We're the center of His pleasure. You know, that needs to affect the way that you meet with God. Like it's a pleasure for God to meet with you. I mean, it's an incredible honor and pleasure for us to meet with God. But it's not like you come and sit down in that favorite chair or find that cafe and open your Bible and God goes, oh, here we go, another whinging complainer. Another faithless person. What a hassle. It's like God is just like waiting. Wow, Mona's about to speak. Hey, can't wait to hear what she's going to say, what's going to come out of her heart. Are you hearing me? Psalms chapter 5 verse 4, "For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells with you." So He takes pleasure in no wickedness, and we can't think, yeah, of course He doesn't. He hates wickedness. He looks at it on us and thinks, I hate it. But the reason is, why does God hate wickedness? And then we see the next couple of verses, Ezekiel 18:23. "Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked?" This is God talking, declares the Lord God. "Rather than that, he should turn from his ways and live," with an exclamation mark. And Ezekiel 33 verse 11 puts it this way, "Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his ways and live. Turn back from your evil ways. Why then will you die, O house of Israel?" The reality is God's created us for a life pleasure. When we involve ourselves in wickedness, is really just which is living outside of God's plan and purpose for us, it breaks his heart and he can't understand it. And it's literally here, he's yelling, he's going, turn back, this is going to be pain, this is going to be heartache, this is going to bring you what I didn't design you for. And that's the heart of God. See, I believe when we're not convinced that God is the source and the heart of our pleasure, then we look for other pleasures outside of God. The reality is, the things that God wants you to get involved in are going to be the greatest pleasure in your life. Let me just jump in for a second. Who's led a person to the Lord? Come on. Who's opened and shared their faith and seen someone? Honestly, is it one of the most amazing things you've ever done? Seriously. I know there's a lot of experiences you can have in God. Who's been in a time of worship where you've just been absolutely lost? It may be today. Lost in God. And it's just, you've come out of it and you've got tears in your eyes and you just feel you've had the most amazing touch from God. True? That's just some of the presence of God, not to mention so many other things that God brings into our lives. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 says, in the last days we will be treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. The reality is, if you take God out of your seeking for pleasure, then you're counterfeiting. Are you hearing me? See, God wants us as individuals, as people in space. He wants you to find pleasure in him. And he created it. And you know, the world is, the enemy has always had a strategy. We're going to go into that. He's had a strategy to somehow get you aimed out of God. Because he the last thing he wants is for you to actually have a Christianity where you love and it's your pleasure to do the right things in God. He'd love you to stick in the world where obeying God is just a hassle and your whole connection with God is just like, do I have to? I feel like I'm being risked. He would love you to be in that world, and so much of Christianity is in that world. It's a hard world. We can start to, when we drift away as God is the source of our pleasure, we can start to see, very simply, wickedness becomes pleasure. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 6. But she who gives herself to wanton pleasure is dead, even while she lives. Hebrews 11, 24 to 25. By faith, Moses, when he came of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. God wants our life to be a choice to choose the pleasure within God's realm than the pleasure out there. Amen? And it comes down to us understanding that God is for us and that God considers that our life can have pleasure. And we don't design our, quite often the world just keeps hitting us with the ideas of what pleasure is, giving us a mental image in our heads, but the reality is it's not how God designed it. And it started, this concept of, I guess, spinning God as someone that's against good and pleasure started way back in the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. If he can convince us in this place that God is not really the life that we live, this Christianity that we have, and the pathway that God has for us is not going to be one of pleasure, it's going to be just one of sacrifice, burden bearing. All of that is part of it. That does happen. But if you stay in Christianity thinking that it's just a sacrifice, oh, I'm just a soldier of God. Every day is a sacrifice and every day is a burden. I don't see men and women of faith live like that. Paul and Silas turned their prison cell into a praise session. You can't do that if it's just all sacrifice. Are you hearing me? You've actually got to have something. And I'm not saying that we don't have tough times. We all know that in this place. But we've got to have a desire in us, an understanding that God actually wants good, and he designed pleasure and goodness and life in our life. And then you actually open your life up to start experiencing God that way. And witnessing doesn't become something you have to do. It becomes a pleasure. Are you hearing me? It actually becomes, oh, I'm a Christian. You know, I've got to open my mouth. I've got to say something. But you actually get to a place where, and one day we're going to get David Pollock on here just to share one of his 1,000,001 testimonies in the workplace and the pleasure it gets. You know, if we're just thinking, oh, I don't want to open my mouth, I feel like I've got to. But it actually should be a place where we want to do it. Amen? God actually wants to get to a place where you actually want to go spend time with him. It's a pleasure, not something you have to do and something that you feel obligated just to do. And I think sometimes it's because we really don't understand how God sees us. We go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And this is the first recorded conversation that the enemy had with mankind to Eve. And straight away, the enemy picks a strategy. Straight away, he wants to portray God as someone different to Eve. Instantly. So we go with the very first recorded conversation. It's the snake, the serpent, back in the garden. The interesting thing, do you know what that word Eden means? Just what? Anyone? It means pleasure. So let's start with the fact that God created Adam and Eve, and he created a world for them, and he says he's going to name it. So God says, I'm going to create this world for Adam and Eve. And so let's actually call it by its right name. Instead of the Garden of Eden, it's called the Garden of Pleasure. Are you with me? So God created us for his pleasure, and he created a garden for our pleasure. So the original understanding of how we live, and so sometimes we're polluted. What we consider the worldly pleasure has somehow filtered its way into the church, and we get messed up and we think, oh, you know, it's just this life of sacrifice and pain. God doesn't want your whole life to feel that way. He wants it to actually be something that the source of all the good and pleasure comes from God. Adam and Eve were created and they were put in the garden of pleasure. So we get this perfect picture, and then maybe there was a marketing planning strategy up in wherever the enemy was. It would have been quite hot. And then they would have been very confused. Imagine the enemy and all his hordes. You have a meeting. Everyone would be backstabbing each other. Everyone would be lying. But hey, what are we going to do this week? Yeah, yeah, Satan, I've got it all covered. It's all perfect, Satan. It's all good. You look at him. You're lying. Yeah, I'm spirit of lying. What are you? It'd be a nightmare, right? It'd be horrible. My mind goes there. Sorry. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 8. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So the serpent starts this deadly conversation with Eve this way. Indeed, he says, has God said, you shall not eat from every tree of the garden? So, translation. This is the Andrew version. Okay, I'm going to take some creative license here. You mean to tell me there are all these incredibly beautiful trees around here just brimming with juicy, delicious fruit, and God won't allow you to eat from any of them? Wow, that's a shocker. Man, that's how he started with Eve. And now, so straight away we go back to what God actually said. We go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. This is what God actually said. Then the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Pleasure, to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in this day that you eat of it, you will surely die. She actually said, every tree, God goes, every tree you can freely eat, except for this one. It's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of it, you're going to die. Isn't that what you would do if you're protecting someone? Isn't that what you do if you had a heart for someone? You would actually spell out what's going to hurt them, but show them everything that's good. Amen? Now, of course, the serpent put a spin on it, and he made God out to be not of good. He said, wow, he can't even eat anything. He's restricted you. Now, the serpent was smart, and straight away this created a concept in Eve's mind and her response. We look at her response. Genesis chapter 3, verse 2. To one, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, and the Lord God said, and he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, instantly Eve, she abbreviates it and she didn't actually say what God said. She came up with her own version, and she says, in the center of the garden, I don't know, maybe it was in the center of the garden, she goes, there's something that he won't let me touch. Because the enemy was spinning it, going, God's not for you. God's not for pleasure. He's made it look really bad, and you know, you're getting ripped off. And she lost the term, the knowledge of good and evil, because that's the reason why they would die once they knew that. They understood all that. So the reason behind why God said no was lost. And suddenly it became about this place that she couldn't have in the center. It's almost like a fenced off area that our human psyche said, we can't go there, we can't go there. Instantly, the woman fell into the trap. So he did a couple of things here. She diminished God's word. She took eat freely just to eat. She could have come back to the serpent and said, what are you talking about? God said that we can freely eat. Look around you. Look at the incredible fruit. Look at the incredible richness what God has created for us. Yes, he said that one over there. It's a tree of the good of knowledge. And I understand that'll probably lead to death in my life. So I understand why he's protected me from it, snake. But you didn't. You hear me? See, if we start to diminish in our hearts and minds that God is good and he's for our pleasure and goodness, then we start to see God differently. Are you with me? We've got to have a sense of joy in what God asks us to do. See, sin is not something that, I've got to stay away from. Sin's actually going to be something, wow, God has created such a good life for me, and he's protecting me. It's got to be. Are you hearing me? If your thing is on a Friday night, oh, hey, you know, someone says, hey, let's go to a big party. There's going to be a whole bunch of alcohol. Oh, I can't go on Friday nights. My parents won't let me, and I've got youth. Are you hearing me? As opposed to, hey, you know what? I'm not really interested. Man, I've been going to youth on Friday nights. It's full of life. I've got a whole bunch of friends there. We worship God. I'm having a ball. Are you hearing me? How you project it? That person's going to go, oh, really? Wow. I mean, the world is going to desire for pleasure, but we've got to actually bring out what God has given us and project it as pleasure when you're witnessing. If you're sour, if you're like, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I can't do that. Yeah, I can't do this, and I can't do that either. The reality is people's hearts are turned towards pleasure. We were designed for pleasure. And if you're not convinced that there's pleasure in God, then how is anyone else around you going to be? Come on. If this is all about sacrifice and pain and giving up and whatever, you've got to be convinced there is everything that God has told us not to do is because God is about bringing about the best life and the greatest pleasure for our life. Simple as that. Second, she changed the word from the tree of knowledge of good and evil to just the tree. She took out all the understanding of the reason why God said no. And we do that. Oh, you know what? I'm a young person, and I'm not going to have sex before marriage. Why? Oh, I don't know. I think God's just trying to rip me off. I've got no reason why. Well, last Sunday night, we kind of explained why. Amen. Because it's created to be something incredible, and every time you do, you can form a soul tie or a bond with someone else, and if you keep doing that, you're going to give that part of you away, and it was created to create a glue and a bond physically and emotionally and spiritually with an incredible person, and it's going to be the most intimate relationship you can have for all your life, and sex is supposed to be a part of that. Amen? So I am saving myself for my man or for my woman, whoever you are. Amen? As opposed to, yeah. Third Eve added to God's word by tacking on her own man-made thing. She said, oh, you can't touch it. Actually, God didn't say that. So, we can, and the church has been, come on, the church has actually been pretty good at this, to adding all our own little bits. I grew up, how many people grew up here where you weren't allowed to watch the movies, go to the movies at all? Ours wasn't too bad. The world I grew up in, but who grew up not wearing makeup? I'm looking at the girls here. So, who grew up actually, girl, not wearing jewelry? Like, you weren't allowed to wear jewelry. Anyone? Wow, okay. Yeah, well, hey, you know, I think my mum grew up in a Brethren church. You had to wear a head covering. You know, all the stuff that man has added to God. I can't see any of that in there, so it's something that we actually, as representations of God, sometimes have caused a lot of trouble. Are you with me? We've got to be convinced that we serve a God who's interested in pleasure. Are you with me? Come on. God calls you into a place of the presence of God, it's because there's going to be pleasure there for you. If God calls you to pray, if you actually persevere in it, you're going to find it's something that you really enjoy doing. Come on. If you actually start to read the Word of God, you'll actually find in it, you'll start to connect with how you're designed, and it'll become something you want to do. It'll become something that you think about and you excite you. And, you know, what excites me is really good coffee in my Bible. If the coffee's not good, there's a lot of pleasure gone. But I love, I was out at my cafe this morning, and one of the baristas, his name's Jack, and he says to me, and it was just really warm in there. I walked in there, it was like, oh, toasty warm. And I said, oh, this is so warm. And he said, well, why don't you just stay, Andrew? Why don't you just stay? And I said, don't tell me. I could squirrel out in the corner there and I could just read my Bible and drink my coffee and not go and preach. And then the owner of the place, he goes, I'll preach for you. And he's a coward. He's not saved yet. And then and I said, well, what would you do? He goes, oh, I've seen Joseph Technicolor Dreamcoat. We had this big conversation about how, and I laughed my head off. And I said, you know what? I might call you up one day. And he goes, I'm ready, Andrew, I'm ready. Isaiah 30 verse 18. He longs to be gracious to us. He waits on high to have compassion on you. God delights when we enjoy his creation. Amen? He really does. God didn't create. The reality is God created us to richly enjoy. Just think for a second. If God wasn't into pleasure, then eating would have been, maybe we would have wandered outside and put our feet in some dirt and had to stay there for 20 minutes to get nutrients. True? If God wasn't into it, if it wasn't a big deal in his head, then, you know, don't even go down the realm of sex. I'll leave that alone. But if just eating, he would be like, we would go outside and we'd have to all stand in the dirt outside, you know, get your feet in there, stand for a half an hour or an hour getting nutrients. But he didn't. He created us with mouths and taste buds. So what's your, Gareth, what's your favorite food?
Pizza.
Pizza. Wow. Okay. Jerry, what's your favorite food?
All of it.
Jambalaya.
What is it? Jambalaya, soul food. David Pollock, what's your favorite food?
Be my wife's creamy chicken.
Creamy chicken. Joe?
Prawns.
Wow. God created us to have pleasure. I mean, I've got a pet. His name is Max. He brings me pleasure. Big time. I love food, probably too much, you can tell. I love all types of food. I love sunsets. You cannot look at how God's created things and not see the beauty of how God has created things, and he's created it for pleasure. Are you with me? So you need to be convinced that whatever God asks you to do, it actually leads to pleasure. I know there's sacrifice. I know you can't read the Word of God and not see that people bring that part in their life, but I don't believe we serve God wholeheartedly with all our heart, soul, and mind if we're convinced that he's asking us to sacrifice and burden all our lives. We've got to find the pleasure in what God's doing. Are you hearing me? You know, even Stephen, the very first martyr, when he was actually being martyred, the picture tells us that he was looking at heaven. Who knows at that moment? He might have been in his greatest pleasure as he was dying. I don't know. It says he looked to heaven. He was probably seeing. What was he seeing? I've got no idea. But what we consider to be the worst place ever, he could have just been seeing something so incredible. And it could have been on his heart, could have been overwhelmed with the honor of giving his life and sacrifice to Christ. You've got to be convinced that God is for you. He's got the best life. He's got a life that is just filled with such life. Why don't we stand to our feet? Gone a little bit over. Sorry. You know, God created marriage. Amen? Anne Rayner, tell me, what's great about being married?
Iron sharpening iron, I think it's really wonderful, and friendship, and humour, and love, and learning how to be more selfless. There's too many, but we'll be 26 years in about a week.
And it's a pleasure. Amen. You know, we've got to look at things differently. And I want to do a couple of last things. First of all, just close your eyes for a moment. I'd love anyone in this room that doesn't know the Christ that we know. Every one of us need to know that there is a Jesus that absolutely loves us. There's a God that created and gave his only begotten Son so that we could have life. That we are his pleasure. And maybe your concept of God is that he's just this taskmaster that demands obedience and looks with you with eyes of anger and wrath. But the reality is, friend, if you get to know Christ, if you open your life up to him, he is incredibly gracious and loving, and he loves you intimately. And if that's not your experience of God, then this morning I would pray that you would open your life up to a relationship, not just religion, but a relationship. So we're gonna pray a prayer in this place, and just wherever you're up to in your heart, maybe you've never prayed a prayer to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. In relationship, I'm just going to pray today that you would do that with sincerity. And we as a church, we're just going to pray together. with you. So if this is your first time, just pray it with sincerity from your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I accept you today, Christ, as my personal Lord and Savior. I accept today that you died on the cross for me because you loved me and you wanted to create a way for me to know this life that you have for me, eternal life. I accept today that by your grace and your mercy, you've taken away my sin, and I repent of my sin this morning, and I accept your grace and mercy. I accept today that Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart and life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, just close your eyes a moment longer. You prayed that prayer as a rededication or very first time, just slip your hand up. I'm not going to ask you to come out, but someone can have a chat with you afterwards. We'd love to have a quick talk with you and just connect with you. All right. Last thing I want to do is take a seat. And I want us to dwell in the last 3 or 4 minutes on how God's created this world for our pleasure. Amen. So we've got some pictures, and I'm asked Rocky to come. I've got no idea what song he's going to sing. But he created this man and his talent and his ability for pleasure. True? So if you don't want to run off, just for a moment, and then we're going to close the service, I think we could sit back and just enjoy. And we've got some pictures of some beautiful places that I need to visit on this earth that God has created. And if this doubts you, if there's any doubt in your mind that God created this earth for pleasure, look at that.
I got to tell you, Pastor asked me to sing a song this morning about 9:40. I said to him, okay, sure, it's possible. What do you want me to sing? He goes, anything. Doesn't have to be a church song. I was like, ooh, okay. He goes, whatever you want. I go, what's the topic? He goes, pleasure. So I recapped and went, secular song, topic is pleasure. This might not work so well, but it's fine. I definitely want to sing, why not sing a secular song? But if I'm going to sing a secular song, my pleasure is definitely praising God. And definitely being here to just experience God's goodness. And if I was to put everything I love about God in a little secular song, it would sound something like this.
Don't worry about a thing, because every little thing gonna be alright. I'm singing, don't worry, yeah, about a thing, 'cause every little thing is gonna be alright. Rise up this morning, smile at the rising sun. 3 little birds above my doorstep singing sweet songs. Melody's pure and true, saying, this is my message to you.
You know the words, sing along.
Singing, don't worry about a thing, yeah. 'Cause every little thing is gonna be alright. Jesus said, singing, don't worry about a thing, yeah. 'Cause every little thing gonna be alright, yeah. I said every little thing is gonna be alright.
Beautiful. Not bad for impromptu. Beautiful. Why don't we stand on our feet? I'm just gonna close in prayer. God, we thank you for all that you've created for us. God, we thank you that your intention for our lives was pleasure. To bring pleasure to you, and for God, for our lives to have that pleasure displayed in our own lives. God, I pray that we would allow ourselves, our relationship, our walk with you, those things that you tell us to do, God, let them come out of our lips and come out of our hearts, hearts that are convinced that you are good, that every good gift, as your word says, comes from the Father of lights. We accept it, God. And God, let us take that message and let us share it with a world, God, that is seeking pleasure, but let them find true pleasure in who you are and the way that we were created to be. Use us this week in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. There's going to be good coffee out there and some great snacks. Have a great rest of your week.